Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chiefs have never led in this football game. Ariza waits for the go signal. Butker's kick is good, and the Chiefs have not led in this game until now. They get a walk-off field goal in overtime from Harrison Butker. Kansas City 23, the Colts 20.
Chiefs Radio Network, of course. Chiefs escape with a win here. Welcome to the show. Okay, a couple things. Number one, the Colts are really going to regret this. Really going to regret this, Pearl. They had Kansas City on the ropes. They had a chance to maybe end Kansas City's season, or at least put them in a real blender.
Yeah.
And they let them up off the mat. And we've all seen scary movies like this. And once you let the villain get away, you may live to regret it. And I don't know who the good guys or the bad guys are, but I know that Indianapolis is going to regret this, because if they face Kansas City again in the playoffs, which is totally likely, they're going to rue the day when they allowed Kansas City to get up off the mat. And
hell,
they absolutely let Kansas City back into this game.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I would keep in mind is they'll have to go to Indy. I didn't expect the Colts to control this game like they did in Kansas City. I actually was surprised for most of the game. I'd say the first 45 minutes, I was like, wow, this Colts team is more impressive than I thought. Sauce Gardner is actually making a difference. And then they came back to earth. But this, I'm not going to kill the Colts for this. This is a desperate, good team they went against. And I don't know how they lost their run game. To me, that came down. Their superpower is Jonathan Taylor. He was an MVP candidate 2 weeks ago. And somehow Kansas City's defense really, really stepped up in the fourth quarter. I'm not sure Kansas City, what I'm saying, Indy gave the game away as much as Kansas City just really earned it. Because they got tough on defense. Oh, my God.
Okay, you're right. Give Steve Spagnuolo credit, because all of a sudden they brought a blitz on Daniel Jones and he was overwhelmed. The line was overwhelmed. It was like a different defense in the fourth quarter. They were not ready for it. Shane Steichen lost this game for them, in my opinion. I'll tell you why, the head coach of the Colts. So you have a 20-9 lead in the fourth quarter. First possession of the fourth quarter, what does Kansas City do? They fumble, but it's deep in their own, deep in Colts territory. So they're really backed up here, and that was going to be difficult. But nonetheless, you get the ball back, okay? Jonathan Taylor up the middle, minus 2 yards. Oof. That was the last time they ran the ball until overtime. The Colts called 9 straight pass plays. And I'll tell you what happened. They went 3 and out. They went 3 and out. And they went 3 and out in overtime, Pearl. They finally gave the ball back to Taylor with 1 carry in overtime where they went 3 and out.
And what happened on that carry?
He got stuffed. But
on
still,
3rd and 1.
Pearl, I'm telling you, they lost the plot. And then I'll give you another reason why Shane Steichen lost this game for them.
Mm-hmm.
We've already done this now with the new overtime rules, right? The new overtime rules say that both teams get to possess the ball no matter what.
Right.
So you win the coin toss, and what should you do?
Well, I thought it was that you defer.
You defer.
Right, but then they said on the broadcast that 50% of the coaches are now taking it.
You defer.
But
and the reason why
is, why are you smarter than 50% of the coaches? I actually never heard the reason why that the new trend is to take it.
There shouldn't be a trend to take it. Mm. We already learned this. We should have learned this the San Francisco Chiefs game in the Super Bowl. Mm. What happens is you defer because you need to know if you need to punt on fourth down or go for it on fourth down. If you defer, you literally get another down to play with because you understand, do I need to kick a field goal here? Do I need to score a touchdown here? And the Chiefs use that advantage, and the Colts won the toss. Like, I don't know what 50% of coaches.
Yeah,
blah,
there's,
blah, blah.
New, it's so, there's something to do maybe with the new kickoff, but that has changed.
I
don't know why.
It bit the Colts yesterday.
I noticed yesterday during the Jaguars Cardinals game, they went into overtime. The Jaguars won the toss and they received to start overtime.
Yeah, it's
and
a
I
new
thought
thing.
Josh Tynes Allen messed that up, but no, they wanted the ball first in overtime,
and they end up winning. But that's because Arizona stinks. But
no, but I'm saying that's the change that I guess.
Yeah, Romo laid it out, and he never explained why they're doing it now.
I thought he messed up.
It does. I just can't imagine that. Like, we already have the blueprint here that if you're the Colts, like, you have to know what you're working with. Let the Chiefs take the ball first. And I just don't I don't understand it. I guess maybe do you not want to put your defense back out there if they're looking pretty gassed?
That's a good one.
Fine. That's a first. But you know what? But here's the thing. But guys, think about NFL.
Next topic.
Okay, think about an actual NFL game. Think about the amount of real time you get from the end of the game to the first play of overtime. I'm not a professional athlete, so far be it for me to say, but you get the coin toss, you get commercial breaks on either side. Like, you do get a moment to gather yourself.
That being said, you're right. The Colts defense must have been gassed because they could not get. I mean, the Kansas City got 97 yards on that final drive.
Well, it was just the time of possession. The Indianapolis offense, again, back to why they blew this game. They couldn't get a first down. So, they had three possessions between the end of, between the fourth quarter and overtime. 1 minute, 2 seconds, 1 minute, 10 seconds, 1 minute, 2 seconds. And then overtime had the ball for 2 minutes. Like, they just took no time off the clock. But again, like, saying that the Chiefs had these longer drives that, yes, they kept the Colts defense out there. But you got to know what you're up against. You have to defer.
One thing about that you said earlier about getting away from the run, the numbers on the run were so awful. Five of Jonathan Taylor's last runs were for 2 yards or less, including obviously got stuffed in overtime on the key play. He was a disaster yesterday. It wasn't, I'm not saying he, but the entire run offense went away. And I get it. Same thing is happening to the Philadelphia Eagles, Shane Steichen's former team. When you have a superstar running back and you build your mentality all around that guy and he can't get past the line, I don't care if you're the Bill Walsh. It is very hard to adjust on that. And that's, what I think, why the Colts lost. I think the Chiefs defense, Steve Spagnuolo, just had their hair on fire in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
They were flying around. And you're right. You mentioned the blitz. Poor Daniel Jones. There was a third down play where all he needed was a half a second more, and he just could not get it. He never had enough time to set and throw the ball.
No, he was going backwards, throwing the ball up in the air. I mean, this is why people who don't believe in the Colts, you look at something like this, where obviously the Chiefs score 13 unanswered points to win this game in overtime with a field goal. But, you know, it's not like the Chiefs were playing particularly well. Like, on offense, Patrick Mahomes was not on the same page with his receivers until a couple very crucial catches, one from Xavier Worthy, the other from Rashee Rice, that got this thing on that drive to even force overtime. But he couldn't find Kelce at times. And by the way, I'll say it because it needs to be said.
Go ahead.
Refs did everything they could to help Kansas City in that first half.
Way.
In the first half? Oh my gosh.
The face mask?
The two roughing the passers, the face mask.
Miss Western
the face
New
mask?
York,
no, I mean the face mask that went against Kansas City was
at the end of that.
That was the first half. Was it? Or is that the second half?
I thought you were talking about the one in the second half. I'm talking about and it was a disparity that you could just see. It was the Colts got called for, I believe, 11 penalties in this game. 11 penalties for 83 penalty yards, where the Chiefs got called for 7 penalties.
For 57 yards.
Yeah.
But the big one was that Reed did not challenge the face mask call that changed the game early.
People keep complaining about that call, but it was definitely still holding. The guy's grabbing his neck. Like, what? Like, I know,
but
I know
they could have reversed
the wrong. Yeah, I know. And, like, that would have worked. And they can't then, call a holding after you call the face mask.
Yeah.
But to me, it was a penalty regardless. That should not have been a touchdown.
I was just...
Oh, I don't know.
Everything
that,
was
holding
a flag.
Is so subjective.
He's grabbing his neck, Pearl.
I mean, it was 4 points right there. I thought that changed the game.
I've seen the holding call for a lot less. That guy has... He's basically clotheslining him and grabbing his neck while else he's going in.
I think the roughing the passers were kind of the right call, though.
Come on.
One, the guy, some 300-pound guy, just landed right on him. How could you not call that?
Well, Gene Steratore's like, I really feel for the defensive guys here. Like, it was just... That's not the story of the game. The story of the game is the Chiefs' defense in the second half and Patrick Mahomes, like, finding his receivers when he absolutely needed them. That's the story. But just let it be known. I would just want to be on the record saying I thought that the refs in the first half really did everything they could to try to keep the Chiefs in this game.
She must be a Bills fan.
Well, I'm not even. I just got eyes. 20/20 vision.
Refereeing is just bad overall.
It's terrible. But that's also why Arrowhead, I think, is such an advantage, which the Chiefs may not be enjoying this time around. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You still think the Chiefs are the most dangerous team in the AFC?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this was brutal. I think the Colts are a good team, but this if they could have knocked them out, they could have. But now KC is back. Now, I think Dallas is super dangerous this week because it's a short week. How many days around to go on the road in 4 days?
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know what the numbers say. You know, they've been desperate. You mentioned it very. You said it very well. Mahomes is a little bit off. I don't know what the heck is going on there. We just expect them to hit on every drive, but they're key fourth quarter drives where they're just missing. So I think this Dallas game's a little tricky. Then they get Houston and then Denver at the end of the season. The rest of the game should be easy wins, but they at 6-5, they have very little room for margin for error. They go to 6-6. I'm asking you to get the playoff predictor out. Lose this game to Dallas, then they're in trouble. So
stand by.
You got a 25% at best at beating me.
But yeah, I mean, they're definitely, if I was going to bet on anyone in the AFC, definitely them. I think the odds are not great. They're probably the favorite, I imagine.
Okay,
at 66.2%, I got 141.2% chance of winning.
I feel a little like bootleg Kornacki when I do this stuff, but 64% chance to make the playoffs right now for the Chiefs. So obviously sitting in a good spot there. If
Nerd.
They lose to the Cowboys, it goes down to 47-48%. But they've got a lot of winnable games here. You know, they get to go play the Titans. They get to play the Raiders.
So they're third in Super Bowl odds behind the Rams and the Eagles. And then the only other AFC team in the top five is the Colts are fifth in Super Bowl odds. So I'm not sure who exactly is knocking them off. That's the issue.
I just can't. This yesterday is the reason why there are people who still don't believe that the Colts are a thing.
Oh, nobody believes the Colts. I mean, nobody has the Colts as a favorite.
Not about the favorite, yeah. But like that they're going to get the number one seed, that they could be disruptive in the playoffs, that, you know, the playoffs may go through Indianapolis, like all of that stuff.
I really haven't heard a ton of that. I feel like everyone thinks the number one seed is going to be New England.
New England has it right now.
Yeah, and New England doesn't play anybody, so they should be able to hold on to it.
I'll tell you what, if Ja'Marr Chase had been playing yesterday for Cincinnati, Bengals could have won that game. They were like a receiver short, you know? They're in this one-score game at home against the New England Patriots, and T. Higgins gets hurt and banged up in the game, looked like a terrible concussion or whatever
brutal.
It was. It's bad. He's laying on the ground face down. And they just were a dude short.
Joe Flacco also threw one of the worst pick sixes.
Oh, I know.
Which he will do.
Joe Flacco?
Yeah, it's funny. People can call in. I don't think anyone's taking the Patriots that seriously either. Maybe that's a mistake. It's hard to wrap your head around a team like that who was bad last year being that good this year. Even the great Vrabel teams in Tennessee were not really super dangerous for the Super Bowl either. They're built to win regular season games. We'll see. The AFC is very, very tricky. I mean, I know you count out your Bills this year, but, you know, the way the dice falls, it could be anybody's conference. As long as Kansas City is marginalized, any of these teams could win.
And then we got to talk about the Ravens. I understand the pure facts of what have they won 5 in a row at this point, and the Ravens are technically back in this thing, and they're the fourth seed right now. If the playoffs started today, they'd be 6-5, and the Pittsburgh loss yesterday in Chicago flip-flop them, but in the AFC North, but something clearly is still wrong with Lamar Jackson. You know, he's got to be hurt. Like, this just does not look like how it's supposed to look here for for Baltimore, Pearl. That took way too long for them to put away the Jets.
Tell me the status of Kyle Hamilton from play to play. They have one great defensive player, and he gets injured every single game. Then he comes back, and he's in and out. He injured his ankle on Sunday. All that is true, Maggie, but you have to be honest. Do you think Indianapolis or Denver or New England wants to see Baltimore on their playoff schedule? No way.
888-710-4ISN. We've gone this long and haven't really broken down the Shedeur Sanders game. So we'll get to that next.
What about Shiloh?
Did Shedeur win the job for the rest of the season after
Don't forget,
the Browns
you know, I had two sons, right?
went on the road to beat the hapless Raiders, who then fired offensive coordinator Chip Kelly after the game? We've got all that to sort through. It is the Maggie and Pearl Love Show, 888-710-4ISN. Poll question out there for you. Are the Cowboys a playoff team?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MVP. Welcome back to the Maggie Perloff Show. We get to Shedeur Sanders and his big debut yesterday. Browns go on the road, beat the Raiders. I'm trying to think of the last time the Browns had that impressive of a road win. Now, the Raiders are a certain type of awful. They fired their offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, who was the highest paid offensive coordinator before the season, Pearl, coming off the national championship at Ohio State. But, the Raiders are so bad. I was thinking about this, and we'll get to Shedeur, but I was thinking about this. Has there been a team that has miscalculated their station, their place in the NFL more than the Raiders miscalculated what they thought they were going to be this year? They hire Pete Carroll in his 70s. Mm-hmm. They make Chip Kelly the highest paid offensive coordinator. They take Ashton Jeanty with a top 10 pick. They thought they were going for it. They're the worst team in the league.
Well, I don't think they thought they were going for it. I think they brought those guys in to be instill a winning culture to be a little better. I mean, their win total was 6.5 coming the season. If they thought they were a playoff team, that would be way too radical. I just think that they, for this very reason, they brought in all those young guys to teach them how to win at a higher level, meaning 6 or 7 or 8 wins.
The young guys? Who's the young guys they brought in?
I'm saying like they brought in Pete Carroll to show all the young guys on the team how to win.
Right.
Right. I don't think they were thinking playoffs. I think they were like, let's get to 6, 7, or 8 wins and then we'll build and then boom in the future. I don't think they were thinking, oh, we're going to make some noise in the playoffs. That was not part of the thinking.
Well, doesn't it look like sort of win now moves? I mean, I thought it was going to be, all right, Pete Carroll's going to raise the floor on this team and Ashton Jeanty, but it was just so off. Like, to go from that, to think you could be around the playoffs, to be a 2-win team who's now fired the special teams coordinator and fired the offensive coordinator and probably should fire the defense, fire everybody. I mean, Carroll can't come back now, right? This is so bad. It's beyond bad. The Cleveland Browns just came in and kicked your butt. The Browns, everybody, who don't win on the road, don't win on the road when you're changing time zones. And this was the first time in 17 tries that a rookie quarterback for the Browns has won their debut. Like, if you're the Raiders, you just got to pack up the franchise. This
they
is just
had 35 quarterbacks.
Yes.
All of them were losers.
It's the Browns. Geno Smith got sacked 10 times yesterday with Myles Garrett making these kind of statements. It is just as embarrassing as all get out. But anyway.
But same Raiders team as last year, basically. They have no talent.
Right, but they made moves this year. You bring in Geno Smith. Like last year they had Aiden O'Connell and whoever. Like
who's their receivers?
Oh, I agree with you, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying they must have known that they did not have a full roster. But you're saying that they ignored that.
Well, Geno is a win now move. Geno's not a builder move. He's at the end. He's like 35.
Yeah, but I think they wanted to, as you said, raise the basement up, raise the floor a little bit. I think they were hoping, hey, we get 6, 7, 8 wins, and then at least this young players know how to win. And that you're right, it hasn't happened, but they're almost exactly the same team as last year. They were 4-13 last year. They'll be 3-14 this year. Everything you said is right. They're totally a disaster, but I don't know that a lot of people, the problem with coming into the season is you might think they're better, but they have Kansas City, LA Chargers, and Denver Broncos in their division. Nobody thought they were beating those teams. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well, especially not with Antonio Pierce, but you think with Pete Carroll, you're bringing a gun to a gunfight. You know what I mean? Well,
yeah, no, not, I'm playing Monday morning quarterback. Like, you probably shouldn't have thought that.
Well, too late now. 888-710-4ISN. And meanwhile, the Shador of it all. So the Cleveland Browns go to 3-8. And listen, Shador was much better than I expected him to be. Now, again, everyone seems like they can get right on the Raiders, but Shador looked the part yesterday. Obviously, it didn't look too big for him. You know, the numbers were there, but, you know, a lot of this was he was 11 for 20 for 209 yards, but a lot of that was a Dylan Sampson. Was it Sampson who had that big run?
Yeah, 66
yards. The Dylan
yards,
Sampson
yeah.
run, and then obviously the big throw to Isaiah Bond for 52 yards, which was a beautiful throw. I was happy for Shador that he looked like an NFL quarterback. He wasn't going backwards. He was getting his feet set. He was making good decisions outside of a really terrible interception that didn't seem to hurt them too much because the Raiders, I believe, only kicked a field goal off of that interception. So, you know, good stuff. Definitely earned another start, which Kevin Stefanski is not committing to.
Yeah, I mean, he looks much more like an NFL quarterback than Dylan Gabriel.
No doubt.
It's funny. He did a couple times start to go backwards. He's got to kill that habit altogether, especially against better competition. Yeah, he's pretty good. Now, I don't know if we're going to get into this thing. Pretty good, but I'm not sure compete to start next year good. That, I'm curious. You know, we have a, hopefully Kevin Stefanski just puts him in for the rest of the season. He's got a lot of easy defenses he's coming against. He has every opportunity to look good here, but I don't think we're looking at Shador as a starter as early as next year. Like that, I didn't see that yesterday necessarily because it is the Raiders and they jumped out to a 14-0 lead and then just completely put it on silent until the fourth quarter.
Okay, so I'm sticking with my original thought on this because I think it's still correct, which is Shador is auditioning for other teams and is going to be trade bait. And the reason why is purely circumstantial. The Cleveland Browns are going to have 2 first-round picks next year. One of them is going to be high, their own. The Jags pick is not going to be terrible. And I really think that they are not going to keep... I think they're going to be other teams here who are looking at Shador, who see that he points himself well, sees that Deion's not a distraction, all the other things you may have had issues with. Is he keeping his head on straight in meetings? Is he making it about himself or about the team? Whatever happened in the pre-draft process, I think he's going to get over it and get through it. But I don't know if there's a spot for him on this Cleveland Browns team they draft a quarterback very high next year. What are you doing with Shador? He's not a veteran enough to be a mentor, and yet he could also kind of be blocking your next quarterback. Like, they've put themselves in a weird spot.
He's kind of old, so he could be a mentor in a sense. Let me ask you this. So what team would trade for him and for what role? Like, give me an example, just a hypothetical.
Listen, I'm looking at Daniel Jones, right, who last year came in to compete with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. Wasn't he a Pro Bowler? Daniel Jones had a lot of success in the NFL. He got to the playoffs.
He had been cut by his team. Like, it was as low as it can get.
There
for
was
Daniel
an actual
Jones.
Competition for him last year. The Minnesota wanted him too. But anyway,
I'm just saying there's a place, I think, because I don't know if people love these quarterbacks coming out of college, where you bring Shador Sanders into your organization to really compete for the starting role. I think in Cleveland, if you bring in a quarterback with the fourth overall pick or third overall pick.
Well, they're six now.
I think it makes it messier.
I don't really see that scenario playing out where he competes elsewhere, because say you're Miami or Arizona, you want a legit starter. You know, you don't want a guy to come in and compete at that level. I wouldn't think.
Well, let's see what happens over the next few games and see if Shador does look like a legit starter.
If the Browns draft number six, I don't know what kind of quarterback they're getting out of this draft class. That might not even be a quarterback spot.
They still have Deshaun Watson on the roster, bro. We saw him yesterday with sunglasses on the sideline.
Yeah, they might. That's a very real possibility because
I'm saying it's too crowded in that quarterback room. Mary Kay Cabot, who's been covering the Browns forever, said it's possible that the Browns take quarterbacks with both of those first round picks. And she's not just pulling that out of thin air.
So good luck.
Where's Shador going to be?
Good luck predicting the Browns, by the way. but the Jets and the Saints pick 3 and 4 right now. They're obviously, and the Raiders are 5 and are going to win a tiebreaker. That's got to be 3 quarterback teams. And I don't even know if you have 3 quarterbacks. So they might very well be in trouble. Unless they want to trade up to 1 with Tennessee. I don't know. You trade up to 1 for Fernando Mendoza. That feels very rich to me. But hey, you know what? You do have Shador. Maybe, and they're no veterans. Maybe they run Deshaun and Shador and Dylan Gabriel back next year.
Here is Shador Sanders. I'll hear cut 5, please, Manny, showing just how good he could look with just 1 week of practice.
I think I showed a couple of great pieces. It's some things I wish, you know, I could get back. But, man, a win is crazy. It's amazing, you know, off of 1 week of practice, you know what I mean? Just 1 week of practice. So imagine, you know, what a full offseason looked like. It get dangerous, but it's just a 1 week of practice, so I'm just truly thankful, you know, that everything happened.
Practice?
That's courtesy of CBS. Dude does not lack for confidence, but I think people like this type of confidence, right?
We're talking about practice.
Wins hard to come by for Browns quarterbacks, Pearl, and he got one yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, that was kind of humble and cocky at the same time. Pretty appropriate after the win because he made about the team. And honestly, he actually played team football in the sense that he didn't really, except for the one pick, didn't put the team in any kind of trouble. He was getting rid of the ball. I think the first game he played, 4 for 16, he didn't throw it out of bounds. This week, he was much, much more safe with the ball.
Well, and I think the coaching staff helped him out a little bit because think about the 2 touchdown drives that they had. Who finished off those drives?
Judkins.
Judkins and the Wildcat. They didn't even allow Shador. It was direct snap to Judkins. I think maybe, and that's the whole thing about 1 week of practice, right? Maybe they didn't have enough time to be doing all their red zone like install. I mean, think of really how deep on the depth chart Shador has been buried up until this point, where even when he was the backup for the last couple of weeks, he was not getting any first team reps. So I thought it was very interesting that they did the direct snap to Judkins on both of those.
Yeah, install. I mean, there's a lot of talk about this being the 1 week Shador had, which I'm like, what has he been doing all season? Like, I know he's been third and fourth string, but like, I mean, technically you're supposed to be practicing. Aren't you supposed to be preparing as if you're supposed to start? I don't know. But there was a lot of conversation yesterday about, oh, this is only 1 week and he's just trying to figure it out. And he's talking a lot about this is all his 1 week. It really illuminated to me just how unprepared he was last week.
Yes.
Which is, maybe it's his fault, maybe it's Brown's fault, I don't know. But clearly, like, him going 4 for 16, that was basically him going out there and just winging it, essentially. That's what we saw last week, and it was a lot different this week.
Well, also, they were trailing last week, and they had to throw it. So this week, they were not. So it really played into their hands.
Yeah, that, and also, you get thrown at a halftime. You know, very, very different than having, you know, the game plan from the very, very beginning. But was very interesting. They just sort of took the red zone stuff kind of out of Shador's hands. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Did Shador Sanders earn the starting job the rest of the way? For some reason, Kevin Stefanski was really noncommittal about it. We have that audio. Let's hear it. Cut 13, sir.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that, Chris. Obviously, you know, proud of him and proud of this offense, and there are a ton of things to learn from, but I'm just going to, you know, worry about today.
Okay, so I think that's him doing the gamesmanship thing. Stefanski keeps everything close to the vest. He's not going to share, you know, the details, Pearl. They have the San Francisco 49ers next. 49ers play tonight. I just think he doesn't want to tip his hand. That's all. I don't know if it's going to matter, but I'm sure you prepare for Dylan Gabriel differently than Shador.
I would, if he went to Gabriel, oh my God, that would light the internet on fire. I pray for that to happen. Oh, the debates. ESPN will hold an emergency meeting. How do we deal with this and make every single segment of every show about Shador being benched? How could anyone not?
Some people
not
just
want
to see the world burn, Pearl. That's you. Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headlines. What's up?
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Whoop. The Buccaneers might wake up tomorrow morning out of first place in the NFC South. They and the Panthers are 6-5 right now, with Carolina facing the Niners in Santa Clara tonight. Tampa Bay on a three-game skid after last night's 34-7 beating from the Rams in L.A. Todd Bowles went full Aaron Boone postgame.
We got everything ahead of us. I'm pissed off. We got a bad taste in our mouth the last 2 weeks, and we should be. We come home for a three-game homestand. Everything we need to do is right in front of us, but we got a lot of work to do.
It's got
to
slam the desk.
You know, it works for Boone. Right in front of us. He keeps getting contract extensions, so Bowles is smart to take from the Yankee manager.
It's all right in front of us, guys. Can you believe that? Also right in front of them is an MRI for Baker Mayfield.
Right in front of us.
Who missed the second half last night with a left shoulder injury. The Rams, meanwhile, feeling great. 6 straight wins, 9-2 overall, 3 more touchdown passes from Matthew Stafford.
I'm surrounded by really good players. I've got... great receivers, great backs, great tight ends. All of them are catching touchdowns, and we're getting in the end zone. And obviously, I can't do any of that if the guys up front, aren't doing what they're doing, and they're doing a hell of a job, too.
At the moment, his team sits atop the NFC. Far from good football are the Giants, who lost for the fifth time this season, despite leading by double digits. Let's call this a tale of two Carls. Big Blue built that lead in Detroit yesterday afternoon with some creativity.
Winston pumps his right leg, takes the snap, play fake. They run an end around for Oshesky. He's going to throw it, but he does throw it down the left sideline for Winston, who makes the catch at the 15. Jameis reaching, fighting, and is in for the touchdown. Holy cow! Oshesky with a touchdown pass to, of all people, Jameis Winston.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it ain't been pretty, these gimmick plays, but the execution has been flawless.
So there's Carl Banks and Bob Papa, downright giddy after Jameis Winston caught a touchdown pass. But the Lions rallied to force overtime. Then Jahmyr Gibbs scored on a 68-yard run to open OT with Giants D tackle Dexter Lawrence on the sideline.
What is a rotation? You got guys not as good as your best guys. I don't rotate. You don't rotate when you need to close the game, Bob. I'm sorry. All the other stuff is noise to me now. The missed tackles, par for the course. The fact that you don't have your best players on the field when you need to close out a game, it's all that says. It says everything to me.
Damn it. Yeah. The only problem is Carl's frustration there might have been a little misguided, because Dexter Lawrence played nowhere near his usual number of snaps yesterday all game long. So he might not be healthy. So maybe it wasn't a coaching decision to rotate him off the field.
The hell?
To start overtime.
Wait, can I ask a real question, though? Like, why do you want to win?
Who?
The Giants fans.
Because it just would be nice every once in a while.
Because they keep having these double-digit leads and then watching them disappear. Yeah.
And somehow yesterday wasn't like the others, according to Mike Coffey, except it was exactly like the others.
Also, why are you throwing the ball on 4th and goal at the 6? Why not just kick the field goal and go up by 6?
Malik Neighbors had the exact same question, and he had to delete his Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. I think I actually screen grabbed it. Malik Neighbors... Stand by. Sometimes I think they'd be making us lose on purpose, because it's no way, bro. You throw the ball instead of running it to make them burn 2 timeouts. Then you don't kick the field goal. 3? Then they have to go down and score. Football common sense. Am I missing something?
No, there's all those exclamation points, by the way.
What's that?
There was 3 exclamation points and 4 exclamation points in the second comment.
Yeah. Right, but if you're looking at the team, wouldn't you rather have the number 2 overall pick than the number 8 overall pick?
Well, listen, but that's what Neighbors are saying. He goes, are we trying to lose?
Yeah. And can you be angry at me for just trying to get some every once in a while?
No, I think you should be happy. If they, like, talk to EJ. He's been so mad at Jets wins in the past.
Facts. I was getting mad at halftime. I was like, oh, man, they're going to win this game?
The Giants have already been mad at wins. Yes. You won that stupid Colts game, and it took you out of...
Jaden Daniels, right.
Well, I mean, the Giants do have a quarterback, so they don't need to tank. It's the thinking, probably. But still, I mean, you can't be that upset about this.
I thought that was a Cam Ward, no?
Pearl,
I thought it was the Cam Ward, too.
They both guys they could have had if they lost. And there was a DeVito win that messed things up.
That's it.
And then there's a
Thank
Cam
God
Ward.
For Tommy DeVito.
Yes.
Still got a sandwich named after him somewhere.
Oh, that's just... Dandy. Listen, I have some pride. There's, you know, not a lot of it left, but the Giants just keep sucking it out. Right. And it
sucks. Here's the thing also. It's not like you haven't had shots at top picks before and the team still stinks. So
yeah, but I mean, all that's to be said, but you're bringing in a new regime, I hope, next year.
Well,
maybe
new
not.
Coach, at least. I don't even think the Giants know.
I mean, they're not going to keep the GM, are they?
Sure they said they are. He's in charge of the search. I know there are some people who are saying that that's not guaranteed that he actually will do the search in the offseason, but... That would be, then why wasn't he fired now?
Yeah, I could see them doing a staggering firing.
Not arguing with you, but that serves no purpose.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. The Giants really don't make great decisions when it comes to front office stuff. Obviously, they should have fired the defensive coordinator. They should have. And now I'm seeing things like, hey, Mike Kafka could actually, like, this is not a great coaching
that
cycle.
That guy should have been fired 3 weeks ago.
This is not a great coaching cycle, so maybe he really has a shot. And then the other part is all the New York media is basically saying that Bill Belichick, because of Jordan Hudson, has...
No.
You know, is keeping himself from being a true candidate for this job. I don't know if that's good news or bad news, but he's out because
of
news.
The
it's girlfriend. Wonderful news. That's
okay.
The best news I've heard in about 3 years.
All right.
Mike McCarthy is right there, and he'd be a great hire. McCarthy. I keep trying to tell you guys.
Oh, they'll look at
him. You all thought I was crazy, and lo and behold, leader in the clubhouse right now.
Catch the excitement, the third retread. Manny, I have a poll question just for you. Would you rather keep interim coach Mike Kafka or Penn State interim coach Terry Smith, who is gaining a ton of momentum to be their head coach? Never keep the interim coach. Can we just all agree on that?
Never.
It's just funny when Brian Daboll eventually gets that Penn State job and tanks Manny's college team, too.
That's crazy that could
happen. Sorry, dude.
That's possible.
Why did I sign up for that?
Pro team.
Why do I care so much? Why did I do this to myself?
Well, you didn't even go to Penn State.
I know, man. This was my fat brother's fault.
That's a sad state of affairs with Penn State, by the way, that we're talking about Brian Daboll and Terry Smith. Isn't this supposed to be one of the premier jobs in college football?
Lane Kiffin's flying across. Lane Kiffin's dog is flying across the country getting wined and dined.
There's no flight logs hitting Happy Valley.
Yeah, it'd be easy, too, to spot that one plane going in and out.
Football sucks. Football is dumb. I hate football. Football hates me.
Terry Smith looks like the nicest guy in all of college football, though. I don't know anything about him, but I would love that hire. Just because I'm not a Penn State fan necessarily. I pretend to be.
I thought
that
was a Philadelphia school, though.
Yeah, I know. But James Franklin was never even coming close to that. You might as well bring in a guy that everyone loves.
The last time I got excited about a coaching hire based purely off vibes, I got burned with Mr. We're in L.A. Sean Foster.
I was
like, wow, Deshaun Foster, he used to coach, he used to play there.
It's us and USC.
He wore a cool dark visor, and then he went up there and said, we're in L.A.
We all made the same mistake where we thought Rich Bisaccia was going to be the future of coaching. Did anyone? I was like, the team was so fired up for him when he was the interim coach for the Raiders.
Yeah,
I was like, this guy is a monster.
Yeah, and then the Raider players loved Antonio Pierce. Turns out you can't trust the Raider players to pick out their coach.
I mean, if this coaching cycle is that bad, watch out for the interims. Kafka. Honestly, Kafka, by the way, looks puzzled in the fourth quarter. You have to give me that.
Kafka, Shane Bowen, the special teams, Jameis Winston, Wandale Robinson, Abdul Carter, all of them look confused in the fourth quarter. It's wonderful. My mental health is just wonderful. Thanks, Giants.
You haven't undressed yet today, by the way. Is that part of this problem? Your jacket's still on? Your beanie's on?
Freezing in here.
But it's not that cold.
But let's be honest, how do I look? I look spectacular.
Okay.
No comment.
Sure you do.
We have a lot to get to, so that's where we're going to leave
it. It's a shame it's a radio show. Nobody can see it.
Or on youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv.
Go get him, chat.
Infinity Sports Network.
I look good.
Okay.
Nice little colors.
Right. college football happened over the weekend. We will talk about it. Plus, our poll question today, not does Manny look fly. The poll question is, are the Cowboys a playoff team? 888-710-4ISN. Big win. Big come-from-behind win against Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles. Have people in Dallas believing. It's M&P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally gonna kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
All right, EJ, you give us the person. We'll give you the grade from this weekend college football. What do you got?
All right, let's head to Austin, where Arch Manning had a career day, threw four touchdowns, 389 passing yards in Texas's blowout win of the Arkansas Razorbacks. What are you giving Arch Manning?
Omaha! I'm going to give Arch an A-. Passing touchdown, rushing touchdown, receiving touchdown. First time an SEC quarterback did that, I believe, since Dak Prescott. So very gaudy, but it was 24-20 at halftime, and really the Longhorns used two key defensive turnovers to turn this into a blowout. I'm seeing now Arch Manning Heisman buzz, Pearl, and should he still come out of the draft? I don't know if you have a thought on that, but I thought Arch was great. He had the numbers there, and it ended up being a blowout. A-.
Well, yeah, I mean, the story of the Longhorns has been all year. How is our offensive line doing? And once they change around the lineup a lot, and it feels like they have something that can protect him a little bit now. So he was very good. I give him an A because his receiving touchdown was sick. He jumped up. That was great. Cool. He was great. That whole offense was great. The defense really let down on Saturday, which is funny. This all comes down to this Texas A&M game for Arch. The story of Arch this season will come down to this game. Will it be a disappointment? Will he look bad? I mean, it's not going to be as easy as Arkansas, obviously. But I think that if he wants to go in the draft, I think it's back on. Because whenever he has time, he can obviously make all the throws. Very athletic. He's really good at shedding pass rushers, too.
Let's head to Eugene, where it was an NFL draft showcase game for one. Dante Moore, who threw for two touchdowns and 257 yards in the Ducks' win over the USC Trojans. What are you giving QB Dante Moore?
I mean, that was A-. He was great. I'm not getting excited about a win over USC, too. I think that I saw this USC team get their butt kicked, basically, by Illinois. I do not think that was as impressive of a win as some might say coming into that game. He was really good, though. He's kind of righted the ship after a midseason slump. Is that fair to say? He looks like he's back on point. So, and right back at the top of the NFL draft.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's probably not with Fernando Mendoza, but right there. I don't think he's going to unseat Mendoza maybe as the top quarterback now in this draft.
Right. I think you're
but
right.
Definitely. And listen, yes, USC is a very different team on the road, clearly, than they are at home. And that showed in this game. Also, USC just made so many mistakes. And credit to Oregon, they really capitalized. 42-27 was the final score. And they were able to run the ball all over USC. So I thought this was a little more about the ground game. But Dante Moore, my grade A.
Let's stay with this game. Let's go to the other side. How about head coach Lincoln Riley? Another ranked loss for the USC Trojans head coach.
I'm going to say C minus because your team is so different and your quarterback is so different on the road than he is at home. And you've got NFL talent at wide receiver, Pearl, and you've got NFL talent. You know, the defense is better. It's obviously made leaps and bounds in the last couple years. But Riley, I thought this was a real letdown for him in this game. His team looked unprepared. They look sloppy. And that's got to go back to the head coach. So I'm not giving him a high grade at all. And then to take it out on like a young reporter after the game where he kind of takes aim, says, this is the stupidest question I've ever been asked. Like, dude, you're in your feelings. You got to be, you're calling the reporter unprofessional. How about you stay professional? To me, it was just a failure all around.
That's a stupid question.
But, okay, forget Saturday, though. Would you say this has been, I'd say it'd been a generally positive year for Lincoln Riley.
He already doubled the win total from last year.
Yeah, because obviously they came in with no expectations this year and at least were competitive. So I'm not going to totally kill him. The truth is, I just don't know about Lincoln Riley in the Big Ten. It just doesn't feel right.
Think about it, right?
Yeah.
He's not mentioned at all for any of these other openings. Like nobody, I know he's in the Big Ten, but like nobody in the SEC is like, you know who's going to right this ship? We got to poach Lincoln Riley. Like no one in Penn State's even looking at Lincoln Riley.
I would think if Texas opened up, Lincoln Riley would be in the conversation for that. Just because he's kind of Mr. Texas.
He ran from the SEC before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wasn't Tom Herman Mr. Texas? I mean, listen, that could go badly.
By the way, for off grade on this week?
Oh, yeah, I give him a C. But I think... yeah, I think Lincoln Riley in Texas and the Dallas Cowboys have always been sort of flirting with each other. And Sark is almost the same person as Lincoln Riley, these offensive geniuses.
Way more successful.
All right, and finally, let's go to Blacksburg, where the Miami Hurricanes and their playoff hopes hang deeply in the balance. Carson Beck, what grade are you giving the Hurricanes QB this week as they get a win over the Virginia Tech Hokies?
Oh, give me a break. I can't believe you even put this one on there. Virginia Tech is not even really present. They're just waiting for their coach to get there. And Miami looked good. I watched a bunch of that game thinking about you. The uniforms all look kind of weird for some reason. I mean, is it Beck you gave us? Okay, I'll give him a B because who cares? It's not going to move them into the playoff, EJ. Deal with it.
I don't know. I'm going to give Beck an A. 4 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, again, the opponent's not great. You're right, James Franklin can't take over fast enough, but still, I'll give him an A for this. And they were good on third down, so I was impressed by that. Here's the thing about Miami. What is this going to be here with the ACC? And how do they get a team into the college football? How do they get teams into the college football playoff? Obviously, the conference champion will get in. But is that going to be two teams playing each other who are outside the top 12?
Yes.
Obviously. So then Miami's going to be technically ranked higher than those teams, but is going to miss the playoff most likely.
That
it
is the most
doesn't make any sense.
That is the most likely scenario. The scenario I think Miami fans are looking at, and I think Notre Dame fans are looking at, is what happens if Miami, if they jump Utah, which should happen after Utah had a scare against Kansas State.
Yeah.
And then especially if Alabama ends up jumping Notre Dame next week, if Miami and Notre Dame are in the same pool, because that's how they do this stupid thing, you got to be in the same pool, not even compared against each other.
Yeah, same tier.
Yes. What happens if those teams get compared to each other considering Miami beat them in week one?
Well, listen.
I think I have bad news for you.
Yeah. Which is,
I'm sorry. I think Notre Dame's getting in over Miami,
which is
not
ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
College football, the chaos is the function, not the bug.
Let's not just give Notre Dame a win. I mean, the Cardinal, Stanford, next week's opponent, they're very smart.
Great.
That's true.
They just dropped 70 on Syracuse. What are they going to drop on Stanford?
Yeah, but Syracuse was starting a lacrosse player, a quarterback. No, I'm just kidding. Notre Dame's in. EJ, I'm sorry. It's over.
Oh, my gosh. So much more college football. Plus, yesterday's Cowboys win. What does it mean?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.